We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. This week, I'm talking with multiple FFPC High Stakes Leagues champion Michael Cobb, an owner of two top 50 teams in the 2021 Football Guys Players Championship, a contest that will pay out more than $3.7 million in prizes, including a $500,000 grand prize. In this episode, we talk about how Melvin Gordon could ruin Javonte Williams in Week 14, why he's still hanging on to Antonio Brown for the stretch run, which rookie is going to be a championship winner, and much more. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 10% discount to RotoViz by using the code RVRadio2021. That's RVRADIO2021. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. Now, without further ado, here is the owner of two top 50 teams in the 2021 Football Guys Players Championship and a former winner of dozens of high stakes leagues in the FFPC, Michael Cobb. RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown coming at you this week with a gentleman who has two teams in the top 50 of the 2021 Football Guys Players Championship in pursuit of a $500,000 grand prize. Never cashed the big one before, but cashed plenty of league championships in the main event, the FPC, Dynasty Leagues. It is the one, the only, the incomparable Michael Cobb. Michael, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks, Balky. I'm glad to be here. It's if you get invited to this show late in the year, you must not be having too terrible of a year. So it's awesome to be here. And you're right, the elusive big prize escapes me, and it's what drives me. So I'm happy to be in the race and happy to be here and talk about it.
We have Friday night coming up on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Jeff and Ed McCann, who've been playing high stakes for, you know, two decades or whatever, they have come so close to winning over the past, you know, several years, not only in the FFPC, but in the old WCOF. And they're in, I think, 10th place in the main event right now. So they're hoping that this is their year. I know you're hoping this is your year for sure in the Football Guys Players Championship. I know you draft several teams. During drafting season, Michael, you have the two teams in the top 50 right now, but do you feel in the drafting process you like to diversify your shares across all your teams, or do you like to to hammer a lot of the players in the same leagues or the same players in your leagues?
Well, you know, I definitely like to hammer the same players. I'm a little bit more of a going after my guy draft. Now, I will say, you know, 2 years ago, I was really heavy on Antonio Brown. This was, you know, the Raider year. So this is a guy I've got on, you know, probably 25% of my teams. Last year, it was Barkley, who was on, you know, about one of every five teams. And, you know, when this year started, I did some of the early drafts. I was big on the Dobbins, the ETNs, the Irv Smith. So I got a little scared, I'll be honest with you. You know, once those guys started going down, I thought, you know what, you know, especially with some of these premium, you know, your first, second round picks, if it's close, I think I'll diversify a little bit. I'm not going to go out of my way. And, you know, there's a lot of players, for instance, I never drafted, but if it was close early on, I got a little scared, maybe tried to diversify. But as I started getting into the, you know, third, fourth round, I'm constantly going after the same player.
Let me ask you this, because this is a strategy I've heard from several players, not only in this show, but the HSFFR as well. They will go after the same players, like their sleepers in the mid rounds and in the late rounds, right? But they'll vary up their first, you know, half dozen rounds, right? Yes. And obviously that changes depending upon, you know, if you're drafting early or middle or late in the first round. But what do you say for that strategy where you vary up your first five or six picks, but then in the mid rounds, in the late rounds, you start hammering the sleepers you love late?
I think it's fair to say that once I kind of got a little bit scared after some of the early injuries, I probably went that route. I just maybe shortened it to the first three or four rounds, then started hopping on my sleepers. But I think it's fair to say that I got a little concerned again about just being too tied into the same players. So I like the approach. I like the strategy. I don't think you should ever take anyone that you don't want just to have them. But, you know, something like, for instance, that went over my mind a lot when I was drafting this year is last season, I was absolutely dead wrong on Stephon Diggs. Didn't draft him. Did a ton of drafts. Never took the guy. Obviously, he was a key element in a lot of people winning. So you hate to be wrong on someone like that. That's a big difference maker. So that does get in my head sometimes about, hey, every now and then, maybe if you can work a guy in that you never have. So that's definitely a part of the process. But I just feel more comfortable when I'm going after my players.
On those top 50 teams, and you can broaden this question out. I know you play a lot of Dynasty and a ton of Football Guys main event whatsoever. Did you have a big waiver wire addition that helped you on these top 50 squads or maybe some other teams this year? I know Cordarrelle Patterson was a big one early on. I don't know how many shares you have of him, but was there anybody off the waiver wire that really helped this team or these teams float around the top of the leaderboard?
Surprisingly, on these two teams, almost non-existent. And there are some players I think could help later, say like a Ramondre Stevenson. Van Jefferson's been a little bit of a help. One of these teams definitely got a few week boost from Khalil Herbert. Friermuth has been a good addition. So there have been a little bit of additions, but nothing huge. Now, you did mention Cordarrelle. He's not on any of these teams. I do have him some places. You know, that to me, that seems like the probable free agent pickup of the year. There hasn't really been a lot. You know, the receiver market to me has been pretty thin for most of the year. I'm trying to think of what the big free agent addition was that people landed. You may be Elijah Moore, you know, if he was cut early. So that would be one if people gave up on him. There's been some helpful weeks from running backs, but I think in a general sense, free agency for me has been a lot of de-streaming. Friermuth, I think if I were to look at the totality of my leagues, has probably been my best free agent addition throughout all my leagues.
Let me ask you this. Who's been a better, like when we talk about fantasy MVPs, let me throw three guys at you here as far as league winners go this year. Who was the best fantasy MVP? Was it Jonathan Taylor? Was it Cooper Kupp? Or was it Leonard Fournette? Because, I mean, all three of those guys were drafted in different spots of the Football Guys Players Championship, the FFPC main event. And I think they've all had their merits, right? I mean, Jonathan Taylor is a legit NFL MVP candidate. Cooper Kupp is doing stuff at the wide receiver position that no one else is doing this year. And Leonard Fournette has had a couple of boffo weeks that has really helped propel some people, you know, into the championship round of these national high-stakes contests. How do you feel about those three guys? Which one is the fantasy MVP out of those three? Or is it somebody else?
No, those are great candidates, and I hadn't really thought of this, but I think I would probably narrow it down to Taylor and Kupp, and you know because of the, I just instinctively want to say it's Taylor, but I think if you factor in what he cost versus also the fact that he's not going to be available this week to people versus what Kupp cost, that you can definitely make a compelling case for Cooper Kupp, but I think it would be between one of those two.
you're a dynasty guy. You're always looking forward. You probably haven't given much thought to the 101 in 2022 redrafts and the Football Guys Players Championship in the main event. Is it Jonathan Taylor at this point, or is it somebody else?
I think it's Jonathan Taylor. I have been giving it some thought, and I really think that he's got an opportunity in redrafts to own that 1-1 in a way that Christian McCaffrey owned right. it, you know, this year. I really do. In Dynasty, if you're he'd probably be the 1-1 as well. I know if we're talking Dynasty, even though he's been a little bit merely okay, I think if you look at his age and everything, I would make a compelling case for Kyle Pitts actually as a top a top two or three guy. But if you're looking to win right now and redraft or dynasty, I think Taylor has to be 1-1.
One of the most owned players you have on your FFPC squads this year got a chance to showcase his stuff this past week with no Melvin Gordon active, and that was Javonte Williams. The early reports we've been hearing so far heading into week 14 is that Melvin Gordon is expected to return. But what kind of workload do you think, anybody who has Javonte Williams on their team, what kind of workload do you expect him to get against, and I know they won this past week, but let's face it, they've been pretty bad all season, Detroit. This is a prime matchup for Javonte Williams. What do you like, or what do you think about his workload this coming week, Michael?
He is a guy I obviously one of my biggest drafted players, so I'd like to see what I saw this week. I think it depends. I hate to say this. I still think this year it depends on Melvin Gordon's health. And what I'm trying to say that, if Melvin Gordon not just plays, but he's healthy, it's a lot to say that he's going from missing to perfectly healthy. I hate to be a buzzkill here a little bit, but I do think that if Melvin Gordon is healthy, it's going to look like it looked before this last week.
All right. So if that's the case, coming off this Bafo week, if Melvin Gordon is active, you're talking about Javonte Williams being a guy who's borderline flex worthy, like as a second flex in Football Guys, right?
That's correct. Yes.
I think that, we all want to, at this point in the year, we want our hearts to lead us, right? But sometimes our brains and our guts make the better decisions. And yeah. I think Javonte Williams, it comes down to it. If Melvin Gordon is indeed active, especially if you're still competing here, in early to mid December, Javonte Williams, as tough as it is to do, might be a better bench than a start if Gordon's active, even against this matchup.
No, you're right. You're right. And, this week, again, with Gordon, even if he's active, the fact that he missed last week, that does give you a little bit more confidence. But if you're healthy, and I could definitely see lineups out there where Javonte Williams would not be in your lineup if Melvin Gordon is healthy. And, we were just talking about Jonathan Taylor and 1-1 next year. Javonte Williams, you don't know what they're going to do with their coach, what they're going to do with their quarterback, but this guy to me has a legit possibility to be a top three redraft dynasty guy next season. I think very fondly of the guy. Everybody saw that he's a three down skilled back, super young, but I haven't seen any kind of sign that they're not going to go with the rotation once Gordon is healthy.
And this is, and so, okay. So as a dynasty guy, this is where, there's a little bit of a window, right? With Javonte Williams, because the future is cloudy with what the Denver front office and coaching staff wants to do with Melvin Gordon. But seeing the talent of Javonte Williams, seeing what he did without Melvin Gordon on the field, what would you do in the offseason up until they make their decision about Melvin Gordon or whatever they're going to do? Would you be sending out some offers, some, I don't want to say low ball, but sending out some offers for Javonte Williams, trying to get him on the cheap? Because if they do let go of Gordon and they don't bring anybody else in and they just go with Mike Boone as the backup, Javonte Williams would be a massive get in the offseason, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I could put it this way. If you just said, hey, you got to jump into a dynasty startup draft in February before free agency, you're not going to know how anything's going to work out. You just got to go with it. I'm going to have Javonte Williams as a top five overall player.
Antonio Brown, a former top five overall player in fantasy. He's fallen off since then. I was a big fan of his coming into the season. I drafted him a lot in the mid rounds, and certainly I was loving it early on in the season. Then the injury happened. Now this faux vaccination thing happened with Tampa and the NFL. Very on brand for Antonio Brown, by the way.
It is.
And so now he's dealing with a suspension. He's dealing with an injury.
rosters are lacking in a lot of leagues. What do you do with Antonio Brown? Is he droppable if you want to, you know, add that second kicker, add that second quarterback, that third tight end or what have you? How droppable is he right now in high stakes leagues?
Okay, so listen, I got a soft spot for Antonio Brown. I'm an old Steeler fan. I've had this guy on dynasty teams forever. A black cloud follows this guy off the field, no doubt about it. But the work ethic and on the field, big fan of the player. So taking that for what it's worth, I would strongly advise that nobody drops Antonio Brown. Strongly, you're just not going to find that kind of upside anywhere else. There are things that could go wrong. Maybe he's not 100% healthy. I've heard positive stuff, but maybe he's not. When he does come back, he basically will not have played in 2.5 months. So there could be some conditioning issues at play. I just think, especially if we're talking about, you know, the main events, the football guys, when you're going to go against a lot of other teams, you need that difference maker. And I just can't see cutting someone like him. You know, and there's another guy, and I actually have this guy on a lot of the teams with Antonio Brown, which is Calvin Ridley. I've had a hard time giving up, but between those two, I'm far more inclined to cut Calvin Ridley.
Hey, and the Ridley thing is frustrating because it's one of those things, and I don't want to make light of it at all, but it's one of those things where he's not recovering from a broken bone, a soft tissue injury, a concussion, anything like that. This is a mental health thing. And for a mental health thing, he could say tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. That, hey, I'm good to go. I'm ready to play football.
Exactly.
Let me practice this week. Or he may not be able, he may not play the rest of the season, and we don't know what his future is in the NFL, quite frankly. And that's the frustrating thing with Ridley. I have him, ironically enough, the only in the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship this year. I won, of all my main events, I won one league, and it was one of my worst teams I drafted. And it was a Calvin Ridley team. But I ended up getting Kendrick Bourne at the right time. Devontae Freeman, I played him this past week, and it worked out nicely. But that's the thing. It's because, you know, if you somehow made it this far with Ridley, you got to keep that wild card in your back pocket. If you somehow made it this far with Antonio Brown, you got to make sure you can deploy him, you know, in the money weeks. And I think those are the types of guys that we scratch and claw on the waiver wire all season long to try to acquire. You don't want to release those guys at this point in the season.
Oh, no, you really don't. And you know, it because of the need to adjust your roster for a final few weeks, it's challenging. But we're getting into a stage, even if you're just talking a dynasty league, we're playing nothing but playoff and really good teams at this point. You need difference makers. These guys are those kind of guys, and they're just hard to find. And, you know, when these guys are both receivers, this week I think I'm seeing some of the better receiver options I've seen in some time. But I've been moaning to everyone I know for about the past 4, 5, 6 weeks that it's the most barren wide receiver free agent market I can ever recall.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. It totally is. I'm with you 100% on that. That said, let's shift to the running back position. Tennessee, they play Jacksonville this week. Certainly a winnable game, an exploitable matchup game. What do you do with the running backs? Deontay Foreman, Dontrell Hilliard. Are either of these guys starts for you? Are they both benches? Because I feel like if you have either of these guys on your team, this is the type of game you want to get them in your lineup. How do you feel about them?
This is a confusing situation. You know, Vrabel definitely seems to have taken a page out of Belichick's, his mentor's playbook. And you don't seem to know what he's going to do week in to week out. And to further confuse the situation, I'm expecting Jeremy McNichols to come back. And you know, so I really don't know how the thing is going to go. You ask if they can be in your lineups, and I certainly hope so, because they're going to be like in main event playoff lineups for me because I have to. Now, if you're asking me, do I want to put them in there? If I had a really good choice, would I put them on the bench and try to see if I can get more information on how it shakes out? Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to not start any of them. Saying that, they should be okay at least. As you indicated, Jacksonville, good matchup. Julio may or may not come back this week. Regardless, they don't have a lot to work with, and they're going to have to run a lot of this offense through the running backs. I tend to think they're okay starts. Where I probably struggle the most is the fact that I actually have Foreman and Hilliard on a few of the same teams. I don't know which one.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Well, what do you do? Like, who's the safer option? I mean, Foreman's got to be the safer option, right?
Well, you know, here's what I've been thinking about it, chewing on it for a few days, actually. And if McNichols is active, he's got a skill set that in theory just seems a little bit closer to Hilliard's.
Right.
Plus the fact that, I mean, you know, Tennessee isn't so powerful that you just assume they're going to blow the Jags away. But it's still one because they're a good, well-coached team that you think they'll get a lead, and that generally would spell Foreman. So if McNichols is active, I'm leaning Foreman. If McNichols is not active, everything I saw and read in the previous 2 weeks before their bye was Hilliard running as the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. So McNichols is kind of going to be my guide, I guess, is what I boiled down to. Jeremy McNichols impacting my starting lineup calls in the main event playoff finals.
One of the guys that I don't want to say he was a popular late round pick in drafting season in August and September, but a guy who, you know, some people latched onto, and a guy who has been startable for more than several weeks, quite frankly, this season, has been the rookie out of Penn State, Pat Freiermuth in Pittsburgh. Knowing that FFPC main event football guys leagues, they're all tight end premium, knowing all that, has he reached must flex status in those leagues right now, given his penchant for scoring touchdowns, given his penchant for, honestly, like, you know, Roethlisberger has eyes for him. And I don't know if that's because he doesn't run routes, you know, nine routes down the field, and it's easier for Roethlisberger to hit him at this point of his career, but certainly he's putting up numbers right now. Is he a must flex for you, Michael?
You know, yet earlier you had asked me about the free agent pickups, and again, on the whole totality, he's probably been my best free agent pickup across leagues. I actually thought a few weeks ago he had ascended into that kind of must start status. Now, the last 2 weeks, he's kind of dropped down to four targets each week. He had the touchdown, but if you're only getting four targets, you can't be must start for me. Now, I feel good about Freiermuth. Tight ends, you know, there's not a lot of them going around. I kind of took a wait on tight end approach in a lot of leagues. And if you have Freiermuth and you need to put him as your flex or tight end, you can feel good about it. Whether or not he's a must start, that's relative to your options. But I definitely wouldn't put him in that category when I've just seen 2-4 target games.
Is there a potential league winner for you right now that not a lot of people are talking about down the stretch, or is it too early to make that call?
Well, I one guy who I have on a lot of teams who's a lot of it's going to have to do when they come out of the bye week and the status of Damian Harris's hamstring is Ramondre Stevenson.
Mm-hmm.
He's extremely exciting to me in terms of what he could be. We just talked about the Tennessee running backs. If we can get some kind of clarity on those and one of them can step up. Carolina, another one of the confusing backfields, because we've seen for the last 4 or 5 weeks that Amir Abdullah was running ahead of Chuba Hubbard. So is that going to be how it's going to be now? I don't know that for sure, but that's a guy that I've picked up a great deal. It's hard to think that Amir Abdullah is going to be a league winner, and you know they just fired their offensive coordinator.
Right.
Who knows what surprises they're going to come out with? But I'm definitely curious to see what this guy can do.
What about a guy like Elijah Moore? Because this is, you know, you're a dynasty guy. You understand. Uh-huh. Everybody was falling all over themselves trying to draft to go up into that late first round, mid first round to grab mm-hmm. Elijah Moore before anybody else could. And then he got hurt. Mm-hmm. And then it was, you know, his performance was slow in coming. Now the last several weeks, man, he's looked great, even if his offense hasn't. And now you look at Elijah Moore. I'm looking at him right now as like a top 20 receiver the rest of the way. And I don't want to say matchup proof, but it's tough for me to bump him down knowing his quarterback has eyes for him, knowing he's taking advantage of his opportunities, and he's finding ways to get open in the end zone. What about Elijah Moore as a potential league winner this year?
He is a league winner. He's already kind of been a league winner for leagues that have closed. So, I mean, you can go all the way back to when they came out of their bye, which is sometimes you see teams – figure out how to, we'll take the bye, figure out how to get a guy more involved. So that's week 7 on. He's wide receiver 10 on average. The last from weeks 9 on, he's number 3. The events that have transpired over this past week have solidified him in two things. You know, one, obviously, Corey Davis being out for the year
right.
solidifies his role. The other thing, which was key, was he'd been hard to trust in terms of a lineup because, you know, the quarterback keeps changing and you just never know how he's going to interact with one quarterback. And the one he'd been interacting with the worst was Zach Wilson. So he finally has a breakthrough Zach Wilson game. That was huge. And as good as his game was this week, you know, the Jets only had the ball for 70 seconds in the third quarter. They barely had the ball. He also missed some opportunities that actually it was not Zach Wilson's fault this time. Like, you know, Elijah Moore dropped an easy touchdown catch. So that was super encouraging. The targets, which I'm always looking at for receivers, this guy to me has now elevated into must-start wide receiver one, top 15, 10 category type of guy. Absolutely.
Let me ask you this, and this is something I have gotten. Of all the things I ask high-stakes players on these airwaves over the last, well, now almost a decade, whatever it is, this is one of the more polarizing questions. Football Guys Players Championship, FFPC main event. When these rosters lock for the duration of the season and you got to go to battle in the championship round with what you got and you don't have the option to pick anybody else up, what's the proper approach? Do you like to keep an extra kicker? If you have a guy like Josh Allen or, you know, Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, do you like to have an extra quarterback? Do you like to play defensive matchups so you're keeping multiple ones of those on your team? How do you handle this? Because if you only carry one and there's an injury, you could be in a lot of problems and have no shot at the main or the overall championship. But at the same time, you could make the case that, well, if this guy doesn't perform, I'm dead anyway. So I'd rather have options and play matchups at my other positions to have depth there. Michael, how do you like to play this?
And it's definitely interesting to look at. Several years ago, I used to be a little bit more risky, if you want to say. I'd go with one kicker. We didn't hear a lot about kickers getting hurt. I had a good defense. I stay with them. I don't think I'd ever go with just one quarterback. But we've had obviously something massively new happen in the last 2 years, which is COVID, which now makes going with one kicker or one quarterback an absolutely impossible equation for me to consider. I just can't do it anymore. Plus, with kickers, we're seeing them actually show up on the injury report the last few years more
yeah.
than I can recall. So it's a challenge. You know, we just talked about, you know, you don't want to cut an Antonio Brown, a Calvin Ridley. It's definitely a challenge, you know, to set your roster to compete this way. But there is no way, again, that I intend to not have two kickers and two quarterbacks, and then the COVID thing makes it too much. Defense is a little bit different. Obviously, you're not going to have to worry about an injury. The problem is we have so many bad quarterbacks and bad offenses right now. And again, when you're trying to get every little angle that you can, it's a goal of mine for sure to have two defenses that have good matchups. And we got a little bit of, you know, like I own Philadelphia and the Miami defense a lot because of some of their matchups. Both of them are on bye. And if you're in the finals of your playoffs, you know, you either got to cut them or get another one. So this year, more than most years, I am going to carry 2D. That one's a little bit more optional. But I can't stomach the one kicker or one quarterback right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, like you think about how many teams you're going against. And this is me personally. This is how I've always been. I cannot afford to take zeros at any position, especially when you're competing for this massive amount of money. Like, it's just you're doing yourself a disservice. And I don't think there's any one player I would say, okay, well, he's the exception to the rule. You know, quarterback, kicker, doesn't matter. Now, defense, I think you're right, because I think if you find a defense that has a good championship round schedule, okay, you can trot them out there every single week. But for me, I still like to play the multiple defenses. And so I'll carry two defenses, two kickers, tight end premium. I think you almost have to carry three tight ends, kickers or quarterbacks. You have to carry two. I think it makes perfect sense. And I totally agree with what you're saying there. That said, Michael, going into week 14, going into placing waiver wires, right now, are there any hot pickups on the wire right now that you're targeting? Is there anybody that you're going to go after hard here before, you know, you can't make any pickups anymore this season?
Yeah, well, you know, again, I'm going to have to do a lot of work on getting a second kicker. And I love playoff waivers, by the way. When you get it down to just you and the other three teams, and maybe you can get in a position where you can just out-muscle the rest of the league and you can have whoever you want. And sometimes you're on the opposite end of that, so it's a different kind of strategy, and it's kind of fun. A big challenge right now is going to be finding roster space for mm-hmm. some players. But there are some intriguing players. I've got a lot of Jalen Hurts, so I know I've got to go and look for some quarterback help. This week, and would like to have somebody going forward. But I don't see much at tight end. If I didn't need a quarterback, I really wouldn't be in the market for one. I also have a lot of Daniel Jones, so I got to kind of figure out, you know, what's going on with him in that situation. But there are a few running backs and receivers that I have interest in. And in some of these leagues, I know I'm going to buy them because, I have more money than anybody. Penny, this is a guy I've been yo-yoing around all year on rosters, Rashad Penny. In fact, he's not available in a lot of my leagues because I've been cutting him after week 11 and can't pick him back up.
Right, yep.
He's interesting to me. And the only reason I held on to him in some leagues, it sounds terrible almost to say, but he had that one run a few weeks ago when he hurt his hamstring when the dude looked like he was shot out of a cannon. and I'm like, hey, look, you know, they don't have anybody else and you're always looking for upside. There's a few leagues that nobody picked up Amir Abdullah, and I couldn't find room for it last week. So Penny and Abdullah are two guys. And I mentioned earlier that the wide receiver market has been as barren as I've seen. I feel like this is the first time in a few weeks we've got a few cracks of life. The major one to me, if he's not out there in a lot of leagues, but in some, is KJ Osborne.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I have, you know, Thielen on a lot of teams, including two of these top 50 teams. I hated to see that injury, but Osborne is somebody of interest. And Amon-Ra St. Brown is another one. This guy was the king of the, you know, four catch for 40 yard, no TD. just the kind of guy you don't want in the next round when 7-8 point per game filler isn't going to do it for you. So was the 12 target, 10 catch, TD game, was that something that we're going to be seeing a little bit more of, or was it a fluke? I don't know, but I wouldn't mind putting him on a team or two and figuring it out.
Osborne's, like, we got the report on Tuesday that Thielen is expected to be back at some point this season. But that's certainly, you know.
I read that report and they phrased it as good news. It was like, good news, he can come back this year. And I thought, whoa, that was in question?
Yeah, and and that's the thing. That's the thing, right? Because, like, you know, you and I, we look at that report. Oh, good news. He's not going to be out for the year. Okay, well, the bad news for Thielen is he's probably going to miss not just 1 week, but maybe multiple weeks, you know?
Right.
And that,
right,
and that,
right.
And that turns into good news for KJ Osborne, a guy who was really a waiver wire darling the first, what, week one, week two, where he was catching all these passes. And there's a couple leagues I still had him in, and I don't know why I've been keeping him around all these time, you know, all this time when Thielen and Jefferson were doing their thing. But now there's an opening, and now there's a chance, and we'll see on Thursday night what he can do against the Pittsburgh secondary, because I'm sure that we won't see Thielen out there for that game. No question. Michael, you've been extremely gracious with your time. One more question for you. And this is always a tricky one, because I know there's a lot of people that have the philosophy, you always start your studs, but I have seen people, especially this time of the year with playoff, you know, advancement on the line, league championship on the line, overall championships on the line, they will sit a person that they feel is not performing or has a poor matchup or there's weather issues or what have you. And it pays off, you know, to start a lesser player. Is there an early round pick or a stud that you think should be benched in week 14 that people are going to be kicking themselves for starting him? And then conversely, who's a sleeper that you think not a lot of people, and we touched on a few of them in this podcast, but who's a sleeper that you think that not a lot of people will start, but probably should have in their lineups in week 14?
Yeah. You know, I tell you, I've got on, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I don't know anybody's really calling him a stud, but this guy's kind of the king of the empty touch. You know, he doesn't get valuable touches. He can get 12 of the 14 in run for 80 yards and maybe get you 10 fantasy points. I know that I'm looking at a situation that if Deebo Samuel is active, I'm going to bench him. If you've got options and can bench Barkley, if you can bench Ezekiel Elliott, And I've got those guys, and I don't think I have options, so I don't want to say something that I'm not going to do. But if I had better options, I wouldn't mind not playing those guys at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna give you this last one because it'll kind of tie both of your questions together. If Daryl Henderson is active this way, I would start Sony Michel over him.
Now that's interesting, and we got the report earlier too, before week 13, that he was going to be active, but it was going to be Michelle carrying the mail, and Michelle did awesome. I mean, Michelle was fantastic. Now, you know, granted, the Rams kind of ran away with that game in the second half, but he made a ton of plays in that game. And I kind of wonder, just curiously, when Henderson is up to quote unquote full health, is that more of a timeshare? Is that more of a split backfield the way Michelle's playing?
I'll take it a step further and say, I think it's a timeshare with Henderson as the number two.
Ooh, that's hot takey. I love it. And think about, like, it wasn't like Michelle got cut and the Rams just signed him. They gave up draft assets to acquire this
guy. 4-6 for a 1 year rental. That's actually rich.
And I will say this, I don't think the Rams operate on the same draft value chart as the rest of the league, because they toss around draft picks like you and I toss around empty paper cups, right? I mean, it's just it means nothing to them. But at still at this point, to get Michelle for as little a time as he was going to be under contract with them, to give up those draft picks, you got to believe they had something in mind for him. Is the something in mind that Henderson was going to be run hard throughout the season and Michelle would be fresh for the playoffs? Non-zero chance of that happening. And I think we saw what could happen the remainder of the way after what we saw in week 13.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're both going to be involved. I just, especially with Henderson maybe not being healthy, but even if you told me Daryl Henderson is 100% good to go, I'd rather start Sony Michel.
I love it. And we are going to end on that because that is the way to end a podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Michael, it is always a pleasure to talk to you, even when you're stomping me in a private dynasty league this past week. I still love you. I still like talking to you. This was great. Enjoy the ride, man. It's I know for a lot of people, you know, and yourself included, like, you know, you don't, it's not like you're always in contention for a six-figure grand prize this late in the season every single year. So enjoy it. Enjoy how special it is. Enjoy the ride. Good luck. I know you had a great week 13 with your FFPC main events, right? All of them. Getting all the way into the league playoffs, right?
I had the best Yes, and I had the best playoff week in FFPC I have ever had. I went 14-2
Woo!
In all my league playoffs. Ironically enough, you asked me about Javonte Williams. Had Melvin Gordon been active, there's a chance I could have went 16-0 not to be greedy about it, but the big thing is I got all four of my main events in the league championship game, and I am as excited as a person could be for this upcoming week.
But refresh my memory, and maybe this wasn't you. I thought it was you. This was probably like a half decade ago, maybe even longer now. Weren't you the owner of one of the FFPC high stakes dynasty teams that had the perfect four VPs every single week throughout the regular season? Am I thinking of the right team?
I lost it in week 13.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. All right. Because I remember you were just dominating, just flat out dominating. The entire Dave Gerzak and I were talking about, like, Michael Cobb is just flat out crushing this dynasty league right now. But we're going to have you back on this show when we talk dynasty coming up in the spring. I have so many questions for players for you right now, but I'll let you enjoy this the rest of the way. I know you got some tough lineup decisions and roster decisions going forward here for the remainder of the duration of the season. Thank you so much for doing the show. Good luck in week 14 and the rest of the way, dude.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Always a privilege to come on here and talk fantasy. Good luck to everybody.
Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, and follow us on Twitter @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 10% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.